We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And as always, I am joined by Sean Siegel here on the show. And Sean, we have, for people listening in, they'll have heard back-to-back shows where we did the first 10 rounds, we did the second 10 rounds, a full 20-round draft over at the FFPC in the Superflex Best Ball Tournament, where it is $35 per entry. It's a $10,000 top prize in that contest. So it's going to be tough sledding, but we're hoping to get there again this year to make it towards the finals. Talked on that show about some of the ways of advancing and the systems of it being 12-team leagues. There will be 33 teams in the final of this. Hopefully we will make it through as one of those. But one of our teams, whether it's us or the listeners in this, will advance through the first round, or two of them actually, because the top two of this 12-team will advance to the first round of the playoffs. So we are going to talk through it today, discuss some of the teams, discuss our team, and discuss the pressure again, as we know, Sean, that the RotoViz Overtime listening community in this draft put us under. But I'll start the show out that if anyone is interested in drafting against myself and Sean, do reach out to me. You can do that on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, or send an email to rotovizradio@gmail.com. I can't believe the amount of people that want to draft that. Sean, last year we did this, we were like, yeah, maybe we'll do one or two leagues. I think we had maybe six or seven at the end of it. But this year, it looks like we'll be surpassing that pretty quickly. So we'll try and make sure we can fit as many in as we can. But it's going to be a fun time. So if you want to play, come and play against myself and Sean. We'll be having different ones of these leagues. But Sean, this was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to recapping our team. And there's some very strong builds here in this to discuss as well. So how are you feeling? Has your heart rate come back down after? The squeeze was on some of those picks.
It was so much fun. Drafting against the listeners presents unique challenges, and then our decision to pass on QBs at the very beginning, obviously that presents some unique challenges. And you mentioned that there was a lot of interest in doing these drafts. The RotoViz Overtime community, the Stealing Bananas community, just the RotoViz community in general has been absolutely fantastic over the last 16 months. I mean, the community has been fantastic since the site started back in 2013, but being able to participate in these different events and interact with the users and listeners has been an absolute blast. This is such a fun format with Superflex giving you that different vibe, and then the $35 entry fee. The leagues are filling all the time. You can get in and do them. It doesn't have the huge numbers. It feels a little bit more intimate. Now, the huge number of tournaments are awesome too, but what we like here is the variety. So this is a $164,000 total prize pool, $10,000 for first. Colin, we hope that the winner comes out of this 12-team draft.
Yeah, we do hope so. And as I mentioned, we will be doing more of these over the coming weeks. So there will be a couple of them, and we'll hopefully have our fair share of teams advancing, and the listeners' teams will be advancing. So hopefully we get some of them true here to try and play and represent in the finals. But $10,000 grand prize, $35 entry fee. It is Superflex Best Ball. It is a 20-round draft. So you have 20 selections, and it's pretty much set it and forget it once you draft and see how things play in. But Yeah, I just love the format where it's the smaller leagues. You advance then into sets of smaller 12-team leagues, for example, and it's a 33-team final then in week 17. But Sean, looking through the teams, we'll go through ours first. I think that's the way to go, and then we'll see how some of these other teams and who drafted the players that we were hoping to get. But as we roll through it and look through the draft, I'll run through it in order off the draft board, then I'll run through it and how a kind of team sets up. We have Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, Saquon Barkley, George Kittle, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, Zach Wilson, Darnell Mooney, Garrett Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Ronald Jones, Desmond Ridder, Kenneth Gainwell, Jameson Crowder, Wandell Robinson, Will Fuller, Trey McBride, Greg Dulcich, and then we finished with Jarrett McKinnon and Geno Smith. So when we look at our overall build, Sean, that's going to leave us with four quarterbacks in Geno, Baker, Zach Wilson, Desmond Ridder. Then at running back, that leaves us with six running backs with Travis Etienne, Kenneth Gainwell, Saquon Barkley, Ronald Jones, J.K. Dobbins, and Jarrett McKinnon. And then at wide receiver, we have seven wide receivers with Jameson Crowder, Will Fuller, William Fuller. Now, it's hard to keep up with these players that are all, the names are changing. We have Cooper Kupp, Darnell Mooney, Ja'Marr Chase, Garrett Wilson, and Wendell Robinson. Then a tight end, three tight ends, George Kittle, and the two rookies in Dulcich and McBride. So Sean, after I got all those players named out, how are you feeling with how the draft played out after specifically we passed up on the QB options in those early rounds?
Well, the smart way to play this and the way to maximize your chances to advance and still have a very, very powerful team overall would have been to start with Russell Wilson and Trey Lance. I like those picks a little bit more than Dak Prescott and Tom Brady at the turn. Although Dak Prescott and Tom Brady at the turn are very good picks, right? That's how you should execute the turn to make sure that you have the QB foundation. One of the things that we mentioned as the show was going along was don't necessarily select QB here and chase the points that you're losing to the drafters who got to select in the top nine. Burrow went off ninth. He's pretty clearly the end of a tier there. Jonathan Taylor, also Christian McCaffrey at 7 and 8. Those are both good picks based on what the roster construction explorer tells us, especially once they got Trey Lance and Matthew Stafford coming back through. The flip side of that, though, is that if you are in this 10, 11, 12 range, then you can get two guys. And so at the turn, Al Swearengin gets a couple team name, obviously, there. It was distracting to me. I kept getting confused as to who was picking because I have Al Swearengin involved in so many of my dynasty teams and different team names that anytime I see Swearengin, I think I'm on the clock. So that threw me off a little bit. Obviously love the drafters who are using Big Lebowski or Deadwood team names in their drafts. So I think that that is the dynamic. Had we started Wilson and Lance, then some of these QB picks that we made later obviously wouldn't have been necessary. There are a lot of things you can do after that because the Superflex is basically a format here where you take those first two QBs and then the draft starts. So from that perspective, again, we didn't make the percentage play. Instead, we made a fun play and we selected Kupp and Chase. I like the way that it played out. We ended up getting Zach Wilson well below ADP, even though we're not necessarily on him. You're going to have some guys you're not necessarily on if you start the way that we did, and then you have to take the player who drops. The player that I would have preferred went one spot ahead of us, and that was to the Cat Dad. He's been in a variety of our drafts, does a great job. I thought the way he played it, where he took a very similar approach to our approach at the beginning, started Justin Jefferson and Travis Kelce. In a lot of ways, Kelce would have made even more sense than taking Chase, which is who we picked. And then he ends up getting to round four without a QB, takes Trevor Lawrence, which is a player we mentioned, then takes Jared Goff, one of our targets in round six, and nabs Mac Jones one spot ahead of us in round seven. I think with Lawrence and Jones, all you have to do is basically be a football follower, but also if you have read Blair Andrews' great work in The Wrong Read, you know that that second year is when we're expecting these QBs to really break out. If he gets a breakout performances from Lawrence and Jones to go along with Jared Goff, who just now is loaded with weapons, that's going to be a very nice three quarterback construction. And he also gets Justin Jefferson, Travis Kelce, and Najee Harris on top of it. So I think that could play out very nicely.
Just on that, Sean, when we look at that team in 10th versus our team in 11th, you mentioned Travis Kelce may be a more, you know, smarter pick than Ja'Marr Chase that we took. So looking at how things played out, if we had taken Kelce there, we probably don't take George Kittle in the fifth round, and then we have the option of T. Higgins or A.J. Brown. So let's just say we swap tight ends and swap Bengals receivers. Would you prefer to have Kelce and T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase and George Kittle in hindsight?
Yeah, I think that still Ja'Marr Chase and George Kittle, right? Because Kittle, when he is running hot and we don't know how the 49ers offense is going to go, is every bit the athlete, every bit the receiver, you know, every bit the run after catch, if not more than Kelce. He's not up in that age range where, I mean, Kelce has just shown so little decline. I mean, basically none. Now, he did go through a stretch last season where he dropped a bunch of passes. He wasn't as dynamic, but then he comes back in the playoffs and looks like an absolute machine. Though we tend to forget the fact that he's moving into his mid-30s, right? And George Kittle doesn't necessarily offer that risk. When you're looking at Kelce versus Kittle, the reason that we now have this gap in their ADPs is due to the quarterback play and the uncertainty of just how much passing volume there will even be in the 49ers offense. So you like that. And on a per-game basis, we know that T. Higgins can blow up. The fact that he was drafted here at wide receiver 9 as the more or less clear-cut number 2 on his own team gives you a sense of why the Bengals are going to score so many points and why Joe Burrow, despite some of the things structurally working against him, is a good pick. And one of the things that's been somewhat controversial and one of the things that some projections will show is that maybe Burrow doesn't have the upside and maybe he doesn't even have the median outcome that some of these players who have a little bit more of the rushing upside or their teams are expected from a play calling perspective to throw at a much higher rate, even when leading. I guess I expect to see the Bengals move back in that direction this season, simply because if you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and then Tyler Boyd on top of that, how can you not throw? Handing the ball off to Joe Mixon when you have those receivers, that's a demoralizing play call. I don't think that we're going to get as much of that next year. So yeah, Higgins, I like there too. But I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is one of these guys where you think about what Cooper Kupp did last season. You think about what Megatron did. You think about where, you know, Julio Jones, you think back to Andre Johnson and, you know, Andre 1500 with the 1500 seasons just over and over. Ja'Marr Chase is the guy who could have a 2000 yard, 20 touchdown season. It won't necessarily happen this year. It won't necessarily happen ever, but I think that there's still a pretty decent gap between that and what T. Higgins can offer, which is also very appetizing.
Yeah, well, if Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase on this roster going for 4,000 yards this year, so we'll be in a pretty good spot. But when we look through it then, you did touch on T. Higgins and, you know, the team in ninth then. And I don't know if this is, I'm hoping it is, but this could have a good one. And I don't know if it's a play on the end of the shows with have a good one, but we'll find out, I'm sure, for whoever drafted in team 9 will, I'm sure, reply and let me know if that was the case. I'm hoping it was the case, but they do get Joe Burrow with the 9th pick, pair him with T. Higgins in the 4th round, but also then they do get one of our favorites in Tyler Boyd in the 12th round. So a little bit of a Bengals stack going on there, which is very strong overall. They also took that Gerald Everett pick on a Sean a couple of picks before we were hoping to. So that also is in there. When we look through those, Sean, some of the overall rosters, is there any that's really standing out to you for uniqueness or for overall strength of build throughout, if you want to have a look through them?
Well, all of the directors did a nice job here. You mentioned the Have a God one. When you have something as both a pun and a call out, then that's an A++. The only demerit that we would give this team is the fact that they did take Gerald Everett, who was very definitely the player that we wanted to have at the 11-11.
That was going to be our pick.
We're going to hold that against him a little bit, but that is a fantastic team. You know, gets a decent price there on Nick Chubb, gets a decent price there on David Montgomery. If you're going to select those players, those are the prices you need to get. We talked during the show that Cortland Sutton could be someone who has a massive breakout season to be able to put Burrow, Higgins, and Boyd together. Boyd, one of our all-time favorites. And then you look even to the end where they take Justin Ross. If you have a 19th round pick and you're not sure what you want to do, pick the most fun player available. That's what they select, and I like that. we talked about this ability to do the QB start. We have four teams execute that at the 12th spot with Prescott and Brady, the Heva Godwin team that also took Wilson, the Powder Finger team here at six, which starts with Jalen Hurts and Derek Carr. And obviously Derek Carr is one of the guys that we have been targeting a lot. Now his ADP has started to creep up ever so slightly, or at least he actually hasn't been in a lot of the drafts that I've been doing recently. He hasn't been right in that spot that feels comfortable for me and fits in with what I've been trying to do. And so that part is a little bit disappointing, but he comes in here, you put him with Hurts. You have a very nice mix. They select Darren Waller in round three. Now, based on where these different players are going, Waller in round three is maybe a reach, but I think that Waller is undervalued. He's someone who's going to have a big impact on the 2022 season. Then you look at Javonte Williams, a great running back discount there. You had kind of asked me, well, what if we took Travis Kelce instead of George Kittle? What were you looking at there? Sort of in the fourth round, you mentioned T. Higgins. I think I would have been pushing for Javonte Williams because you put Barkley and Williams together and you have a couple of different ways that that plays out, and you have the league winning running back. So I like what he's doing there. Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, all those good picks. The Josh Jacobs pick in round eight, we do still have kind of a running back dead zone here in this draft. From round seven to round nine, you have names like Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, Walker, A.J. Dillon, Josh Jacobs, Elijah Mitchell, James Cook, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Devin Singletary. Those picks, I think, are all controversial in some ways. Cook going before Singletary is interesting, even though I've said, I mean, you need to get a bunch of both of those if you're a Cook believer. The upside there, drafting him in round nine, even in Superflex, is absolutely massive. I selected Antonio Gibson in one of my recent zero RB teams in the seventh round of a normal draft. I think that he does give you some upside, but there's obviously a lot of competition for touches in that backfield. Elijah Mitchell could lose a lot of work based on how this 49ers offense will probably be geared almost exclusively to Trey Lance. Josh Jacobs now being rumored as potentially someone who could lose his starting job during the year to Zamir White. We talked about Edwards-Helaire. Ken Walker and A.J. Dillon drafted in that range. A ton of upside. I like those picks, and yet, you know, neither of those players appear to be the week one starter. Now, one of the things we talk about a lot is that the easiest way to win your league is to kind of fade the week one starter bump that you see. And yet, I mean, A.J. Dillon, when you're talking about Aaron Jones as the guy starting ahead of him, that's not going to be week one, right? I mean, Aaron Jones is the guy unless he gets hurt. He's one of these talents. He's not Jamaal Charles, but he's kind of in that next group down, brings a lot of those same things to the table. So those are some tricky selections. And one of the things that I liked about our draft is that we didn't have any need ourselves to go to backs in that range because we'd already taken Barkley, Etienne, and Dobbins. Now, I think that some drafters and some managers are going to justifiably say, well, I mean, you took J.K. Dobbins when James Conner was still on the board. That's a weird pick. And you took J.K. Dobbins, who's kind of a dead zone back, but you took him above the rest of the dead zone guys. So that's even worse. But obviously, we're very high on Dobbins there. It's a risk-reward type of pick. He could end up being the running back two or three on the season. He could end up missing the first month and then kind of working his way back slowly and having that offense sort of evolve to actually throwing more again, being a Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman type of team. So a lot of different ways that those could go. We're targeting the players with the wide range of outcomes. Again, I guess my concern about the players and the running backs in the dead zone is they don't necessarily have that wide range of outcomes. And for that reason, they're probably not going to put up the running back points you need to make a difference. In this draft too, it is interesting because even though this is an overtime draft, you know, we took J.K. Dobbins before Cortland Sutton. Then you did have this massive stretch of wide receiver selections after James Conner was picked, but Antonio Gibson goes ahead of Devontae Smith and Gabriel Davis. You have A.J. Dillon, for example, going ahead of Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Amon-Ra. So there are players in here. Josh Jacobs goes basically one pick if you take out the quarterbacks before Treylon Burks. Burks has had a tough time in camp, but someone who was that good at Arkansas, basically you would expect him to get the breathing issues under control. We know that people who have some health things like with the asthma, that can be tricky. And obviously we're rooting for him because playing in the NFL is difficult enough without having to deal with something extra there. But there were kind of names in this range. You think about even the guys in round 9, like the two Buffalo backs and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those guys go ahead of Garrett Wilson. And maybe I'm too high on Wilson, but I do like to play the gap in price between Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson, even though I'm a massive Elijah Moore fan. So interesting there in that I think that we could have seen, it wouldn't have surprised me, I guess I should say, if the running backs had fallen even further. But as we mentioned in the intro, this format is more running back heavy than a normal two running back, two wide receiver, two flex type of league.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think, again, it always comes down to knowing the overall rules and roster constructions that you need to be able to play on a weekly basis. And you know, we talked a lot recently about the half-point PPR element over at the underdog drafts. And then, obviously, we come in here where it's full-point PPR, but also tight end premium. And then this one is super flex and how the flexes work and things like that. I think that's something to always dive into. But overall, I think a lot of the very strong teams drafted here, some of the players that we do really like, Sean, going a little bit ahead of ADP as we would expect. Some of the players maybe that we aren't as high on then falling quite considerably. But overall, I think it's a really, really good draft with a lot of good teams. And it's going to be interesting, as you said earlier, to see it playing out. Team in spot one, we talked about, you know, Deshaun Watson a little bit during the draft and his ongoing situation. But interesting that team one took Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson back-to-back in the 14th and 15th round. Guess that locks them into the Browns quarterback situation, but they hadn't took any quarterback from Josh Allen at the 101, but did load up on some really strong players overall. Interesting, though, that when they get to round 9, there's quite a lot of running backs then up to round 16 with Irv Smith and the two quarterbacks in there. How do you feel? You know, I touched on the Gronkowski pick when we were doing the draft for another team. How do you feel about something like that where there's two potential quarterbacks? I guess last year we would have seen that a little bit with the New Orleans Saints, where people were saying it could be Heller, it could be Winston, and then people were drafting both of them on the same roster. What's your thoughts on burning a roster spot to make sure that you have one quarterback from the two guys?
It's going to depend at least a little bit on your board. And if you feel like you're losing out because you use that round 14 pick on Brissett versus what you could have gotten in round 14 compared to round 19. The thing here is I almost might prefer just to take Deshaun Watson in a vacuum and mix him in with someone else. Because with Watson, you're hoping for that extreme upside at the very end of the season. If he ends up getting, and some of the mechanisms of the suspension are a little bit unclear. We know that it does seem like we're moving toward a resolution, but if he ends up with something like a 12-game suspension and he is able to play at the end, then maybe you get the fantasy playoffs. It looks like it'll be a full year suspension, although if it ends up being 8 games, then this is probably still just a fantastic price in round 15. The only little additional concern I would have there is that there's at least some sort of scuttlebutt that Brissett might not be the starter if Watson is ruled out. And so you could end up using both of these picks and have neither player play. And if that's the case, then obviously you're dead. The flip side of it is just that, again, if you're looking at a tournament and you're thinking, well, how can I maximize week 17? And you're not as concerned about advance rate. Maybe you think that this overall group of drafters is going to be tough enough that you're more kind of in a 1 out of 12 as opposed to a 1 out of 7, which might be more accurate in a lot of rooms, then you're willing to take even a bigger swing. It's also something to where the draft is going to evolve as it goes through, and listeners, you know, who are interested obviously get to hear us and kind of what we were talking about at the time and where we wanted to be flexible and the different choices that we made as the draft progressed. You know, we don't get to hear that same kind of monologue or explanation from the individual drafters, so we don't know where they might have actually had a different plan and then moved off of that to, you know, plan B, plan C. And if it's a plan C, plan D, because you actually had some different targets and they went in a slightly different spot than you were expecting, then yeah, I mean, this gives you a lot of upside. If Brissett can carry the team through and then you get to the playoffs and you have Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen with this team that otherwise, I mean, it's got DeAndre Swift, Kyle Pitts, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that's a team that's going to be putting it on people if it gets any kind of quarterback play. So, from a contingency-based perspective, there are lots of cool things going on there. You know, basically no floor at all with this team, but a ceiling that's absolutely through the roof.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's, again, like, you know, look at our roster and we didn't take those quarterbacks. Maybe some people will say similar things about ours in terms of the upside and the floor. But yeah, it's always interesting to see. I think, like you touched on at the start, I would likely take Watson or Brissett and then, you know, target another roster. This is a bit like, you know, handcuffing running backs. You know, I'm trying to avoid that, even though in this draft we have taken two off those Kansas City Chiefs running backs. And just when we're on those running backs, we did take Ronald Jones. That meant that we did miss out on Gerald Everett with that pick. But Griffin did message in while the draft was going on to say that I can't believe, Sean, that this would have been a typo, and I have never seen it before, but he said, "Thank you, Rojoviz." So I guess any of these drafts that we're doing now will have to be Rojoviz drafts. But the other team, Sean, that I was just going to touch on before we do wrap up is the tight end situation. We did get into a little bit of a hole, but, you know, with Kittle, McBride, and Dulcich, I think we will be able to manage that. We do have an elite tight end in this build, which means that having two tight ends can work in that build, but we have three just in case because of the rookies. But looking at the other teams, who we have a couple of four tight end teams, but there is a few teams then with the two tight end builds. So we have the team in 10 with Travis Kelce and David Njoku, team in 9 with Pat Freiermuth and Gerald Everett, and then we have the team in 7 with Dallas Goedert and Darren Arnold. And had to mention this, they did pair Darren Arnold with Sam Darnold as their last two picks off the draft here in this one. So what's your thoughts, Sean, on those kind of two tight end builds? Or is it, if you, I guess with the elite tight end option, I think you might get away with it. Is it leaving a little bit thin when you don't have one of those top tier tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty straightforward three tight end format. And in small samples, a four tight end has actually been preferable. So you can see again where, because you essentially lose a starting lineup spot, that the tight end has even more influence. And then obviously tight ends in FFPC with the tight end premium, they are very viable flex starters as well if you end up having an abundance of riches. So you want to be powerful at tight end in this format, and we did not accomplish that. In many ways, not being powerful at tight end, I think, is more of a concern for me than what we ended up with the QB situation. The QB situation is purely this scenario-based kind of draft. We're expecting Baker Mayfield to be a starter. We're expecting Desmond Ridder to be a starter after the first month. Then you have your three QBs, and you have them going strongly kind of down the stretch. We took Geno as a little bit of a hedge, and ideally here, you really would have Baker Mayfield go to the Panthers. So you have four starters, right? So that could play out like that if you wait at QB, as we kind of talked about during the draft, then you want to select four quarterbacks in this, even though that feels like it's going to take away one of your late round options. The 19th and 20th round picks right now at this point in the offseason are very weak because training camps haven't happened to kind of solidify the backup types of positions, the third wide receiver types of positions, the teams that seem to be doing well versus the teams, you know, and teams that can make a jump. Ben and I have done some shows on that for Stealing Bananas. Those jump teams, in addition to jump players, can be a very good source of fantasy points. We're still a ways away from knowing how that's going to play out. And if you don't know how that's going to play out, then I think there's some value to using your 19th and 20th round picks in a different way, as opposed to selecting players who probably are going to be irrelevant. Now, there also is going to be a lot of mix of players in the 19th and 20th round. Some of those players are not going to be drafted hardly at all and will go on to have good seasons. And then you have a player on your team that is completely different than the rest of the field. That gives you a prohibitive advantage. So there are trade-offs in terms of how you want to approach these late rounds. We use the fourth quarterback. Obviously, we use our 17th and 18th picks on rookie tight ends. If you're going to take rookie tight ends, you need to take them late, right? You can't take them at a spot where you're giving up meaningful value at a different position. And those are some interesting approaches. We have a Mark Andrews, Robert Tonyan, Hayden Hurst, Brevin Jordan team. Obviously, that's an elite tight end team that also then has three sort of very low-end tight ends, but low-end tight ends that are interesting because Tonyan is going to play with Aaron Rodgers. Hayden Hurst is going to play with Joe Burrow. And then Brevin Jordan, someone we talked a lot about in the show. You can listen to those comments. He could have a target volume that is higher than a lot of the guys who were selected ahead of him. The team five does it in a very different way, where they wait till round 14 to take their first tight end and then go with Austin Hooper, Mo Alie-Cox, Jonnu Smith, someone we mentioned, and Adam Trautman, someone I know that Curtis thinks could have a little bit of a bounce back season when he has been in kind of his sort of best windows of health and whatnot, has scored some points. Team four, which is a modified zero QB, is their team name, which obviously we love, has Zach Ertz, Cole Kmet, Logan Thomas, and Tommy Tremble. Tremble is someone I didn't mention in the show, in part because the Panthers offense is so bad. We do potentially have some exposure to the Panthers offense with the way that we did the quarterbacks, so that would have been an interesting one. Tremble, I think probably more of a third year breakout, but someone who is so athletic that they've used him on tight end carries around the goal line. Logan Thomas, there are some injury concerns there. There are QB concerns, but he was so good back in 2020. And then Cole Kmet, a true breakout candidate. Zach Ertz, we have to root against Zach Ertz. This is a pairing with Kyler Murray in the first round. With Kyler to Ertz, that maybe is the play. We're just going to bet on Trey McBride and say that's the way that you need to play that one. But that's an interesting mix. And last team has Gesicki, Henry, Uzama, and Brate. Uzama and Brate, players that we could have selected late and decided not to. Out of these four teams, Colm, which kind of tight end build of the four tight end builds do you prefer? Do you like the way that they fit it into the way the rest of their team was built?
I think in terms of the best tight ends picked is team two. I think you have to go with Andrews, who is also stacked with Lamar Jackson. Then you have Tonyan, Hurst, and Jordan. And I think, you know, Hurst and Jordan are late round tight ends that I think will be able to get you through certain weeks. I guess the one thing I would say in a situation like this is you're really hoping that Mark Andrews is in there every single week, and then that might limit the upside of having those additional guys on that roster as well. The others, I think they're four tight ends for a reason. You kind of need those extra options. I would have some concerns around team five in terms of Austin Hooper, Wally Cox, Jonnu Smith, and Adam Trautman, but I guess those guys can get you through each week if one of those would hit. So definitely going with team two. When you mention about how they've done it with the rest of the roster, I do like the Jackson to Andrews stack that's there. They have Kirk Cousins, and they have Joe Mixon, Mike Williams. I'm not in on Allen Robinson this year, but that is the wide receiver too. Chris Godwin, probably going to miss the start of the season. So a couple of concerns there. Elijah Mitchell's a solid option. I like Hunt. I like Penny. Davis Mills is the third quarterback. So again, that third quarterback in Mills is able to get all those Brevin Jordan points, Sean, that he's going to put up this year. And then Christian Watson, Josh Palmer, Nico Collins, again, of the Texans, Isaiah McKenzie and Breshad Perryman. So there could be depth at other spots based on the four tight end approach that may have helped. You know, I think one of those tight ends being turned into a wide receiver may have helped that roster overall. I'd be interested as well in terms of, in hindsight, in the sixth round, they took Allen Robinson over Rashad Bateman when they did have Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. Maybe they could have went all in Baltimore there, but maybe it is a case that all that passing offense is going to run through Andrews in 2020. So there is going to be a case if you take the elite tight end and then you take four tight ends that I think you're going to limit some of the potential upside at other positions. But overall, I can see why all four teams there have gone with the four tight end approach. But Sean, that is going to get us to the end of the recap of that draft, unless there's any final bits that you want to slide in there.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you again to the listeners and to the participants in this draft. It was so much fun. They left a ton of both insightful and hilarious comments in the chat during the draft. I wasn't able to respond to those because I was trying to compete with them and figure out who we're going to pick here to make this Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase build work. But again, the community is fantastic. We love having all of them do this. We're rooting for a team, as we said, to come out of this and win the overall title. There are some teams here that not only are very, very good, but I think will end up being unique. And that's one of the tiny advantages as well of doing these RVOT drafts, is that you're going to come out of the draft with a team that probably is different than you would in most other draft rooms. I love these teams. I love what the drafters did. It was a lot of fun. Thank you to everybody, and we'll have another one soon.
Yeah, looking forward to having some more. Again, if you're interested in playing, send an email my way at rotovizradio@gmail.com or send it on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. But that is going to get us to the end of today's show. As always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass using the promo code RVRadio2022 at checkout. Save 10%. That is over on rotoviz.com. You'll get access to all of the content and all of the tools up on the website, so don't miss out. Subscribe today. Drop us a written review on your favorite podcast app. I did message people who have joined the leagues over the last week or so, ask them to drop us a written review. And we have bumped up by over 20 written reviews on Apple Podcasts over the last week. So if you're listening, I know we have longtime listeners who haven't yet dropped that written review. It'll be much, much appreciated. It takes a couple of seconds. Drop that 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Of course, you can check out all of Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back with our next show, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.